fire for us, but it's up to us to keep it burning.
Yeah, right. Come on.
But instead of us keeping it burning, we complain about it going out when we're the ones supposed to keep it burning.
Yeah.
Oh, come on and say amen. If you complaining about the song service and you ain't up praising God yourself, you need to keep your mouth shut. If you
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries in Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
From the book of Isaiah, chapter 43.
All right.
I want to commence reading at verse 1. Isaiah, chapter 43, beginning at verse 1. Recorded are these words. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
For just a little while, God is speaking to Isaiah about divine protection for his people. Divine protection for his people. One of the things that I need you to know at the beginning of this message is, as a child of God, there is nothing that we can be more assured of, have more confidence and courage in, more than knowing that if God be for you,
that's it.
Who can be against you? That there is nothing that builds you up and binds your mind in perfect peace like knowing that whatever comes to you has first been filtered through God.
That's it.
Which that though you may go through a test, though you may have a trial, though you may be tempted, the end result is you are going to be the winner and or the victor. One of the things I love about this word, and I may not get past verse 1, but I want to begin here. And I want you to see some things in the text, because as God talks about divine protection, I want to tell you, it don't matter how many burglar alarms you have, no matter how many centuries, God's police officers, et cetera, et cetera, because there are some things that can attack you that they can't do nothing about. And so it's important to understand the spiritual application and the implication of this divine protection that God gives you. Because you need to know that our warfare is not with carnal weapons. You fight battles every day in your mind, in your spirit, underneath the skin. Paul said there's a war going on the inside of me. There is a desire to do the right thing, but then there is an evil force pulling me to do the wrong thing. I don't care how saved and sanctified you are, you got a battle going on. But isn't it good to know that God has promised his people some divine protection? Look at what the word says, verse 1. But now. Now, why does he start off saying but now? Because but is a transitional word. It changes the flow of sentence structure or meaning. And so he's dealing with what has happened in verse 42. He's literally going back further and dealing with the sins and the shortcomings, the mistakes and the mess ups of the people of God. And in spite of what they have done, and in spite of how far they have fallen, and in spite of them not being perfect, and in spite of them not obeying, and in spite of them not doing what he's told them to do, he says, but now. Thus saith the Lord that created thee. Now, one of the things that you've got to realize about this phrase, that created thee, is that God is not surprised by nothing you do.
That's it.
Have you ever seen some folk and they've done some stuff and it just blew your mind? Just like, I never thought she would have done that. I never thought he would. He's not that kind of person. Isn't it amazing to know that there ain't nothing you can do that surprises
That's
God?
That's it.
You see, while you put on your wardrobe and you put on your face and you cover up the real you and you try to hide your motives and your intentions behind a smile and a friendly handshake, God knows what's going on underneath the skin. And that's why you better be careful about everybody who smiles in your face. One songwriter say all the time. I know it ain't a Christian song, but y'all know it. Trying to take your place. What are they? All right, I just want to make sure y'all are with me. But backstabbers don't fool God. And though it may surprise many of the believers about those whom the enemy uses to bring about attacks, God is never ever surprised, because he sees all and he knows all. And he knows it from the beginning of time to the end of time. And so he says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Now he's calling his people by their name, and it's significant because what he's getting them to understand is, and later you'll see this, he has chosen them. They have not chosen him.
Amen.
Now, when God creates you and he forms you, you then are here by design, divine purpose. I said you're here by design, divine purpose, meaning that you're not here by accident. You are not here by mistake. You are not here illegitimately. God purposed your life at this period in time to be here. And so he calls off Jacob and Israel's name, those whom he has chosen, to remind them that I know you better than you know yourself. I created you. I formed you. You are mine, and I know everything there is to know about you. What does he say to them? He says to them, fear not.
Fear not.
That's it.
Now, why does he say to them, fear not? Because they have every right and expectation to be afraid that God is going to get rid of them because of their disobedience to his word, to his will, and to his way. So he's telling them, fear not. Now, he's telling them, fear not, because they belong to him.
All right.
Listen to me well. It's not because of what they've done or what they've not done. It's not because of who they are that God grants them that favor. But the reason is hidden in the fact that God has chosen them unto himself.
Amen.
And one of the things that I need you to know about God and understanding this is that when God chose you, God knew you weren't perfect.
Amen.
When God chose you, he knew that you would not continue in that you had not even accomplished, which was perfection. And so God knew you better in the sense of understanding your action, your attitude, your ambitions, and all of the things connected with you, to the point where even when you sinned, he knew you were going to sin. That's the reason he provided a savior for your sin, your shortcomings, your mishaps, your mistakes. And yet, though he is a just God who desires and demands justification in the sin issue, he has made a way of escape. Now, this is all important, because what I need you to realize is a whole lot of us cannot do and do not do and will not do what God has commanded us to do because of the sin issue that we have dealt with or we deal with underneath the skin. One of the things that you've got to understand is sin separates us from God. But what it also does is it plays with your guilt and your conscience, and it plays with your emotions and your feelings. And so you feel, which is true, that you're not worthy.
Come on.
And if you feel you're not worthy, you're going to act like you're not worthy. And if you act like you're not worthy, it's the confirmation of your feeling like you're not worthy. And so you feel, well, I've already messed up and he's going to take me out anyhow. Well, I might as well go on and do this and go on and do that, which was the mentality of many of the Israelites and the people of God. And God wanted to make clear to him and to them that he has done something great for them, and they needed to comprehend this so that this fear, that was the kind of fear that was destructive and not productive, was not what he wanted them to have. It was a fear of reverence that he wanted them to have, not a fear of destruction that he wanted them to have. First of all, when you realize that you can't fool God, and you realize God knows your limitations and God knows your heart and God knows your desire, that's the reason Paul say every time, I attempt to do good. How many of you have ever attempted to do good and evil was always present? In other words, you made up your mind. You had already programmed your mind, I'm going to do the right thing. And just before you could execute the right thing, evil spirits and temptations pulled you away. Am I talking to anybody in the house? I made up my mind I wasn't going to do this or that, but the problem was that there were evil forces competing for my ability to do or not to do a thing as it related to the word of God. So you need to notice, every time you want to do right, don't you think the devil's going to let you do it?
That's it.
Without any opposition. Don't you think the devil's going to let you run this race and he's going to not try and trip you up? Don't you think the devil's going to let you get in this fight and he's not going to hit you? Don't you think that you can do what God's called you to do and will not receive the enemy's hand in that manner trying to stop you? But in spite of all of those things, God has given his people the victory. Now look at this, because I want you to see this. He says, fear not. Why? For I have redeemed thee. Listen at this. I have redeemed thee. Well, what does the word redeem mean? It means to buy back. It means to redeem from or to get back with payment upon. Now, let me just help you understand that phrase there, the pawn phrase that's in redemption. If you've ever gone to a pawn shop, it means you take something of value and you go to the place and they loan you money on it. They give you a receipt with a number of days, and they say that by this time, if you do not come back and pay the price to pick up this item, you forfeit it. Mm-hmm. You forfeit it. Now, there are things that you can do to continue it, but it says literally that you have to go back to the place where it is held for a price and buy back what was already yours. You see, what you got to realize is you can't redeem stuff that ain't yours.
That's it.
Listen at this. Because once, listen, that item has not been redeemed, then it goes up for sale. Y'all gonna catch that. There is a difference between an item for sale and an item being redeemed. And God says, listen at this, to Israel and to Jacob, for I have redeemed thee. I have bought you back. You were mine. How then did they get from under the hand of God? Through a willful act of disobedience, starting with Adam and then following down the bloodline of mankind. Because man is a free will moral agent, he can make choices in spite of what God has said. God has not programmed us to be robots. He's given us an opportunity, made a little lower than him, made in his likeness and made in his image, so that we can make decisions. And so when we make decisions different from his, we suffer the consequences. And so because Israel sinned and they fell short and they missed God and they left his will, then they were then taken by the enemy captive. And in order to get them back from the enemy, God had to pay a price to buy back what was already his. Are y'all listening to me today? So when he says, for I have redeemed thee, that's enough for every one of us in here to start shouting and not stop shouting until eternity comes.
That's it.
Because when you look at it, he didn't just buy your redemption for your salvation. He has bought your redemption for all eternity. Well, what does that mean? Well, let me just take a test that I usually throw out every now and then. It's a pop quiz, and we're going to do it this morning. How many of you saved? Raise your hands. Okay, if you're not raising your hands, I'm assuming you're saved. Brothers, ministerial staff, watch them. All right. How many of you have been saved from sin? Raise your hands. Come on, participate with me this morning. All right. You've been saved from sin. Those of you who've not raised your hands, you're still in sin. Okay. How many of you have sinned since you've been saved? Okay. All right. I'm glad I see some folk who don't raise their hands. They're confused, I believe. Now listen at this. How many of you been saved and sinned since last Sunday? How many of you be honest enough and say, Pastor, it's been a rough morning. Till I got to church and looked in somebody's face that looked like they were from, I'm just keeping it real with you. You better have done good till you got here. Well, now, all of that is the reality of God realizing that, recognizing that, and having included enough payment for every sin and every shortcoming and every situation from now until he comes to take you from here. That's why you ought to be shouting, because it ain't just because he saved you, but he's keeping you saved, right? You got to go to work tomorrow, and that's enough to be mad about, because it's Martin Luther King's birthday. For you. You got a week coming up and the devil is going to try you. He's going to test you. He's going to tempt you. And some of them you are going to fail. But thanks be to God, he has redeemed you. He bought you back. Look at what this word says. Look at what this word says. I have called thee by thy name.
That's it.
Thank you. Listen. That means it's personal. And then we can make it even more personal and more intimate by saying that everyone who's been born again of the Lord Jesus Christ, God has called us also by name. That makes it so much more personal and so much more intimate, because if he knows my name, then it means he knows me enough and cares about me enough to want me to have his best. And he obviously is observing me because he loves me. I have called you by name. Rem Smith just had a temporary memory loss. He serves with Reverend Thomas every day of the week. You know, three services on a Sunday, and he got up here and forgot his name. And Reverend Thomas said, "Oh, glory. How could you forget my name? I know you know me," but that's the relevance and importance of a name. And so when God can say, "I know your name," with all of these folk up in here,
that's it.
I can call you out. When he says, "I know your name," it means you're more than a number. You're more than just a person. It means you're so significant to God that God has thought enough of you to remember your name. Listen at this word. Now listen at this. I didn't have the secretary call your name. I called your name. I didn't ask somebody else what was your name. He said, "I called your name." And again, it makes you realize how important you are to God. And this is the reason why, it's all here in the verse, why he called their name, why he calls your name, why he calls my name. Here it is. Why? Because thou art mine. My brothers and sisters, again, it's that assurance of knowing that you are God's that puts everything the enemy does to a non-profitable situation and status. It is because you are his and he takes it personal. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." He does that because they belong to him. My. Now look at this, because he furthers his protection into the earth realm. And now he moves from the supernatural to the natural. And yet he does not disconnect while moving to the natural from the supernatural. In other words, these words that follow are not only literal, but they are metaphoric, which means that sometimes you can be overflowed by water that ain't real. I'm gonna explain it to you in the text. "When thou passest through the waters," when thou passest through the waters, when thou passest through the waters. Now let me help you understand something before I go any further with this. Waters are not designed for you to pass through. Waters and all of that makeup is again a different kind of substance, and it is not natural that man walk on water or natural that man walks through water, and it's not even natural that man walks underwater. And so without all those things being the natural reality, God says, "When thou passest through," not just one situation of waters, but it's plural, which means, and again, whenever you you see waters in this context in Scripture, it's always connected with overwhelming experiences. Waters overwhelm you. Waters overwhelm. They're connected with overwhelming situations. When the waters of life overwhelm you, when the storms of life are raging, all of these things are connected with waters that will overwhelm the believer. And I want you to see this again. He says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, listen at this, they shall not overflow thee. Now listen at this, because what he literally does is he moves the waters from just being calm waters and deep waters to multiple waters and various types of waters, which means there are seas, raging seas. There are different levels and states of how water can become so enraged that is easy to overwhelm a person. It's one thing to walk in some water and it's calm. It's another thing when it's rushing, moving water. The resistance that the water places against you. Every time you lift a foot up, you've only got one to stand. And in between you're making the next step, the water and the resistance is pushing your body back. So it depends on the kind of water you're in that will make it difficult for you to proceed to the other side or pass through. Some of you made it through some shallow water, some calm water, some cooling water. But then you got to some rough waters. And then you got on to some deeper waters. And you're going to recognize that you get to a place where there will be times when waters real and waters that are situational will sometimes be so magnanimous that they will overflow you. It's just like having a pipe burst in your house. A pipe burst and the water is coming out and you first try to start getting towels and mops and mop it out, but the water keeps on coming. And when the water keeps on coming faster than you can dry it up, faster than you can suck it out, faster than you can get rid of it, it finally overwhelms you, because then you realize unless you can cut it off at the source, unless you can get to the valve where the water is coming out of, you might as well put the mop down, the towers down, because ain't nothing you can do till the water subsides. I wish I had. And some of you go through some stuff and you try your best to work through it, to pass through it, but like the waters, they have, listen, no ability to walk in a certain, when waters start running, they run everywhere. At same times in all directions until they find something that can keep them in their borders, and then they don't stop, then they start rising. See, when trouble start coming at you like that, you got to realize that it is designed to overwhelm you, and it comes from this area, and it comes from this area, and it comes from this area, and it comes from, and before you know it, it's like you're all surrounded, but God says, don't worry, I'm with you. Can I tell you, he's the master plumber in the house when the pipes are burning. And he's the controller of the water. And listen, I am with thee. When Moses was down at the Red Sea,
that's it, amen.
And the people of God were there, been promised deliverance. God told Moses to tell them, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Today. How are you going to see salvation of the Lord? And it's all right about all of the other stuff, the mountains and Pharaoh's army behind, but you got a big old Red Sea in front of you. They knew they could not cross them because the waters would overflow. And they would drown. They could swim, but they couldn't swim that much. And so if God were not with them, they would not have been able to pass.
That's it.
To the other side.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about